All right, grab your seats if you would. Great seeing each of you with us this morning. You see things are a little bit different this morning. We have not the full band with us. We have a few smaller number than we had last Sunday. This is one of the low Sundays of the year. But so excited to see each of you with us this Sunday. We did not celebrate communion this Sunday as well. I have a sick son at home, and I have just beginning of the cooties, even though I was vaccinated early on. I did do the circle, dot, dot early on in my, we will get back to normal shortly. But thank you so much for joining us today. I want to read you a passage of scripture, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. And for me, this has been something that has been life-giving. And as we talk about what this next year might hold, and how we live into that, how next year might be the best year yet, this is one of those verses, I think, that really speaks to that about how we can make things even better. So I invite you to hear these words. Paul writes this in Philippians. For those of you who don't know, is one of four prison epistles, four letters that he wrote while in prison. He could have been in prison in Rome first time, possibly the second time. He could have been in Caesarea Philippi, Caesarea Maritima, or Ephesus, or some of the proposed places of imprisonment. We don't know where he's imprisoned exactly, but we do know he is imprisoned. This says this in the text itself, and also verify that in Acts as well. Philippians is the first church that Paul founds in the European continent, first Christian church in Europe, as far as we know. It's a special church for Paul. I've been to a lot of churches, and I know a lot of churches, but the people of this congregation, I just have a special relationship with, I like to think. I love you, even before I started serving you, before I had this great privilege of serving as your pastor. This has been a church that I've always said, that this is a church that we need more churches like this. From my first visit here 12 years ago, I've always said that. There's this type of relationship that Paul has with Church of Philippi. The Philippians are the only church that ever gives Paul money directly for himself for the ministry. Every other church that gives Paul money, it's for a collection for those poor and needy in Jerusalem. But the Philippian church is the only one that cares for Paul himself in the ministry. So again, this is this very special relationship. So many of the other epistles, Paul is correcting people. He's challenging them, asking them to change something. This letter, although it's filled with challenge and encouragement, is not very harsh at all. This is very much filled with love. But remember, he's writing this loving, uplifting letter while he's in prison, probably around 62 A.D., possibly as late as 65, 66 A.D. In 66, 67 A.D., he dies. He is executed by Rome. So his death is imminent. He knows this, and he says these uplifting words. So I invite you to hear these words anew. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's say a word of prayer. Gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for your grace and for your love. We thank you for these words you spoke to the Philippian church that very first time so many years ago, and that you speak to us this very day. Help us to hear them and to live these very words out. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord's name. Amen and amen. And forgive me, I do have that scratchy voice. It is, I think, because of a possible cold coming on, not because I'm trying to seduce anyone here. Not a sexy voice or anything like that, I know. Don't say I have a second service. Okay. So I need your help today. Travis, come on out. He's going to help me out first. I want us to think just real briefly about this upcoming year, about this past year rather, about 2017. And I have, can you hold this bucket too if you would? Thank you, great. This is some rocks I stole from the golf course behind me. So it's a bucket full of rocks. This is going to represent the bad things in 2017. They didn't want to have anything unfortunate happen in 2017. A few of us, maybe. Maybe some things that weren't good, at least. And then we're going to think about some good things, too. Some things that are uplifting. We'll go with the scarlet and gray balloons. So not silver and red, the scarlet and gray balloons. Okay, so let's talk about the bad for a moment. What are some of the things that happened in 2017? And maybe it's around the world. Maybe someone can say Maria in Puerto Rico. Maybe we can say what happened in Houston. Maybe we can say what happened in Florida. Maybe we could say what happened in Las Vegas. Maybe we can say what happened with the Philippines, the mudslides in Malaysia. We can talk about a lot of different horrible things have happened this year. What are some of the horrible things? What are some unfortunate things? And just for the sake of everyone, I believe in unity. So let's stay away from politics for a little bit, if that's okay. The fires, yeah. Although if someone wanted to set a little bit of fire right here. The fires in New York, yeah. That awful fire there in New York City, yeah. Losing loved ones. Surgeries. Las Vegas. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, the fires in New York there, yeah. What else? Earthquakes. Murders. Cancer. Suicide. Addiction. War. And I'm repeating just because we're taping this. Hurricane in Cuba. Absolutely. And family affected by that.
Broken relationships.
What's some of the hurt that... Has anyone experienced hurt in your own life this past year? Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a broken relationships. Maybe it's... the surgeries, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a feud, maybe it's this anger, maybe it's this unforgiveness, maybe it's a mistake, maybe it's a mistake called by someone else, maybe it's a mistake by called by someone else, maybe there's some self-harm, maybe there's some self-doubt, maybe there's this, this way that you just haven't really appreciated who God made you to be, maybe it's other people. Maybe it's any number of things that have been wrong about this year. That's what's represented in this bucket full of rocks. Okay? Everyone knows what I'm talking about? That bucket full of rocks, is that clear? Bad stuff? Okay. Good stuff. What do we want to talk about, these scarlet and gray balloons? What good things could they represent? I'm sorry? Miracles, and Bob, say it for a fourth time.
Life.
Eight times. Okay, life. and new life. There's been births among us. There's been some exciting things.
People drawn closer to God.
Absolutely. Knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not just that, but living for Him. Falling head over heels in love with Him.
Baptism.
Beautiful. Marriages.
New opportunities.
Parents who are still living.
New opportunities.
New adventures. The good in the midst of the bad. The light in the midst of the dark. The comfort in the midst of the pain.
Healing.
New members of the church.
Love for each other.
Pastors in our midst. What are some of the good things amongst us? Any other good things that we want to hold on to? What about your own? And you don't have to be so autobiographical, but is there something good in your life?
Grandkids.
Great grandkids. New puppy, yeah. See, if you would ask me, I would say that in the bucket full of rocks. But for you, that's good stuff. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I got distracted. I'm sorry.
Better eyesight.
Yeah. New job. Awesome. What are things that brought you joy? What happened in your life that just said, I want more of that? Family time. Church family.
Netflix.
Netflix. You know, I wasn't feeling especially well last night. I just said, oh, you know, let me go sleep a half an hour. I have to get up early in the morning. And so I said, okay, I just need, just find a little show on Netflix. I spent half an hour just sort of Netflixing and scrolling. Trying to figure out something, and by the time I figured out what I was going to watch, the half an hour passed. Netflix, I'm sorry. Relationship with God. I love how everyone just jumped up and said worship on Sunday morning. Thank you for that. That was heartwarming. anything else? No, I'm not saying you're bad. Not at all. What else is good? What else just brought you, you know, just this great joy? I traveled with my dad, and I loved to do that. Traveling was great, but spending time with my dad, who lives in Ohio, that was a real special time for me. That's something I'd love to have more of. Although maybe not always 3.5 consecutive weeks. Friends. I'm sorry, my dad's listening to this. Forgive me, Dad. This is a bad joke. Friends. Friends. Missions, volunteering,
first car,
absolutely. So this is us, right? This is this year. There's good stuff and bad stuff, and this just isn't the year. This is life. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. So here's the question that I'm asking. If this is us, or better yet, if this is you, mix the good and the bad, why are we holding on to the very stuff that weighs us down? Why are we holding on to the bad? Well, put it down. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing, I'm coughing. That's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul's saying. He's in prison. He's awaiting death. If anyone has a right to complain, maybe it's the guy waiting to be executed. But instead, he writes this letter that's filled with more joy than any other letter Paul wrote. Just four verses before this, he says that familiar refrain, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." He is in chains, in prison, awaiting to be executed, and he is rejoicing, praising God. He's getting ready to leave this world, not on his own accord. He's being persecuted in the name of Christ. Everything that has been held dear to him, he wants so desperately to see this congregation again. People he loves, friends, have been taken away. This is one of the home churches of Luke. And Luke is not mentioned at all in Philippians. So it's believed that Luke has possibly left him at this point. He's not with him at this point. People that are so dear to him are no longer in his life. He served Christ without abandon. over and over again through so much of his life, and this great first missionary of the church in so many ways, and one of the just did so much, and his reward at the end of his life is to be in prison, waiting to be executed. And he's probably he's beheaded because he's a Roman citizen. He'd be beheaded, not crucified, like Peter was. But he knows this is coming, and he's praising God, and he's saying, "Hold on to the good. Hold on to the good." And he's saying to the people that love him dearly, "Don't focus on my upcoming death. Don't focus on that being imminent. Focus on the good." The other day, I was talking to my wife, and I love my wife, but that doesn't mean I love everything about her. Like sometimes she talks in code. Like for example, like I'm wearing a shirt, and she'll say, "Is that what you're gonna wear? Like, what does that mean? You know, like I don't understand. You know, like I'm a guy. You gotta tell me, like." You know, like, change that shirt. That's awful. That's ugly or something. Don't talk in the secret code. Or she'll say, "Where do you want to eat? Anywhere's good with me." Oh, don't get me started on that conversation. Because anywhere I choose, she'll go and she'll say, "Oh, I don't want to eat here. I don't want anything from here." Not the right answer. You know, but like, I don't focus on that. Because that would drive me crazy if I focused on that. Instead, I focus on the good. And don't get me wrong, there's so much worse that I do that my wife, I hope, ignores. Because she doesn't look at the bad, she looks at the good. She looks at the good. This is a challenge. I mean, there's so much going on in our lives. We can spend all day at just sitting on the psychiatrist's couch in so many places, just talking about the bad things that happen. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time or place for that. Certainly there is. But what Paul is saying is to hold on to the good. Is there someone in your life that drives you crazy sometimes? Find the good in them and hold on to that and forgive and let go of the bad. Is there something that you want more of in 2018? Cling to that. Hold on to that. Lift and just cling to the thing that's uplifting, that lifts you up, that lightens your spirit. Hold on to Christ Jesus. Hold on to Him, the one that will carry your burdens. I'm not saying we ignore the heavy. I'm not saying that we don't grieve and we don't mourn. There's a time for that, but that's nothing we hold on to. Paul's challenge to us this morning is to focus on the good. Because as we focus on the good, that's just what we get more of. I mean, we get what we pay attention to. This is a truth that Paul understands very clearly, and he's trying to communicate this to the people of Philippi. Hold on to the good, because you're just going to get more and more of that good if you hold on to it. And if you focus on the bad, if you focus on the hurt, it has a way of increasing that. Have you ever laid awake at night thinking about something that just, maybe something small that happened in the day? Maybe someone that cut you off at Crabtree Valley Mall and then they flicked you off. Come on. You know, whatever it was, with an MCL sticker on the back of their car. You know, whatever it was. You know, was there something just small that bothered you? And then you just sort of let it fester and grow, and that anger and that frustration just blows up and it gets bigger and bigger. Or is there a time that you have ever just thought about something so lovely and pure and just, something with so much virtue, and you just can't help but grow that? I mean, I really believe we get what we pay attention to. So a challenge for this next year and for every day, as you might hold on to the good. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's say a word of prayer. Gracious and wonderful God, we thank you for this lesson you have given to us this day. As we approach this new year, may it be filled with your goodness, with your grace. May we cling to you. For we ask all these things in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord's name. Amen and amen. You get what you pay attention to. So what are you going to pay attention to in this new year? Good things. Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to pay attention to the things that we talked about that were uplifting? How you all said worship right away. Are you going to pay attention and get more of that in your life? Are you going to get more of God, of studying of Scripture? If these are really the words of life, if the Bible really is the words of life, if these really is something beautiful, pay attention to these things. If there's an author that just spoke to you, get more of that. Whatever it is, focus on the good. Whatever's pure and true and trustworthy and just and lovely, of good report. If there's anything of virtue, anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And what we think about creates this reaction, because what we think about creates our actions, and our actions create what we think about. This is a cycle. Next year can be so filled with Christ's blessings and grace and mercy if you simply hold on to him. This altar is open for anyone that wants to pray. Anyone that wants to repent of the sins, give their life to Christ Jesus, this altar is open. This altar is open for anyone that wants to pray for this upcoming year. For anyone that wants to pray for those who are sick. Anyone for those in need. This altar is open. Please stand as we continue this time of worship.